Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Halverson from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say, before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Death.
Doc Stanley, Sports Step, Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Radio Network. We open up the John Chain's iconic.
Dear Lord.
Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your world, have your will. We thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. And we ask you, Lord, that you give us so much, not what we want, but what we need, and we hope what we need, so it's what we want. We thank you for your darling since you've died on the cross, that we may have the right to experience life. We thank you, Lord, for all blessings that have come, will come, all unmerited. And you're God all by yourself. We thank you, Father. We ask you to bless our families, family panel, family Arizona panel, and our beloved Brazil and across the world. And more importantly, Lord, that your way be our way. We ask you to bless us, all of us. In your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted God Radio Network. And we're just getting here to Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Looking back over the week and seeing what the weekend professes to bring. And let's just real quickly get into the hoop set. A little basketball real quick. Yeah, hoops. I caught a little bit of the NBA special on the doctor, and it opens with Isaiah Thomas with Matthew Johnson. And Isaiah is talking about watching Julius, you know, fly right through the air, you know. It was, you know, he was the reason for the urge. It's in the words of Howard Wesson, sometimes it was sad and touching that you look back and the Sixers, you know, we're talking about Lloyd, World Be Free, Lloyd Free, Doug Collins, you know, and probably the two culprits at the top of it wouldn't pass the ball to Doc. And I remember Doc talked about, too, how things were structured. It's really that they didn't want him and McGinnis getting 30 points a game. They wanted 20 from him, 20 from George, and 20 from Doug. And so much of what Gary Ward told me about the Yankees, they want to win with a certain type of play. And it was, a sting when Brian Taylor got traded from the Nets to the Kansas City Kings. The Nets had just won their second and last ABA championship as the league folded. But Nate Archibald was coming. He said, wow, you have Nate Archibald, the great passer, jump shot shooter, one of the legendary players in the game, with Doc coming to the NBA, man, you couldn't ask for a better menu. You know what I mean? It was a great salad and then he turned around.
Yeah, but it didn't work because Ohtani had a bad foot, so they never got to play together.
Well, they didn't get to play together because they traded Julius.
Yeah, also Ohtani was hurt anyway, so it made a difference. He was hurt.
Well, so you don't think he could have played at all, just a little bit?
No, not with that foot injury. No way, no.
Yeah, as you look back at it, too.
Got something else to tell you, too. In his book, there's Dr. J, Tiny told Julius Erver to play in those tournaments. Rucker tournament.
Oh, yeah, well, that was...
And Tiny told him, they got guys that are as good as you. He said, hey, you got to come repair. Oh, don't worry about it, man. I'll be ready. Then he went against Herman the Helicopter. I know you heard about that story.
Julius Erving.
And after that, Julius Erving went berserk.
Really? Hold on a minute. Before we go any further, let me bring you into the sports definition. The man who coined the sports definition, Melco Sal Smith Jr., a.k.a. Rooney, a.k.a. Little Go-Go. Young man, do you have something to say?
I see something.
Good doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God the Radio Network. The Sports that Serves the Drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Sam. Take it away, Doc.
Take it, Rooney. You know, you're always taken back with people of merit, people of credibility, people of special talents himself seem to think that you are above special merit. And you know, when Rooney does that introduction, it's just so humbling and so grateful. Now, those kind of words coming from him representing the greatest assembly of talent put together. And today, looking back, it's Friday. We're talking basketball, we're talking football. The Giants and the Jets will both play at home, so we'll get a chance to see both teams Saturday, tomorrow night. It's the Jets against Jacksonville, and then on Sunday, it's the Giants against the Colts. Now, what a tremendous change that whole team has been through. Look back at that transformation. But
I got a lot to say about the Jets today, Doc, because I think Rex has a double standard.
Go ahead, Johnny. Let it flow. Let it go.
Well, I got to be honest with you. For all the years that Sanchez has been stinking up the joint, playing way below par, okay? Now, I'm not talking about his lack of offensive weapons and whatnot, but you have never heard him. And goodness knows he's had plenty of chances where he could have ripped Sanchez, the way he ripped a rookie that's playing hurt to begin with, okay? I've never, in all the years Sanchez has been stinking up the joint, okay, heard him ever rip him any way, shape, or form. The way he ripped a kid the other day, oh, my God, he was a disaster. And he was I've never heard this so-called player's coach anybody when he ripped
B-Wings is here. I mean,
You talk about your team like that. Don't let him get away with that now. Don't let him talk about your team now. Jump on him now. Get him now.
He said
he sees something too much.
Baby. He sees something. You better come with it.
Yeah, he sees something a lot now. You got to jump on him.
Standard. I really do. How could he rip the hurt? First of all, he's a rookie. Second of all, the kid's hurt playing on a bum ankle to begin with. He shouldn't even be at practice. But you know he's probably not even going to play this week. And you rip the kid like that, and when Sanchez has been sticking up the joint for years, and you never even came close ripping him like that, what's with the double standard?
Oh, I agree with that.
Well,
I don't think that
he should come out and say that. No more than like a player like when Stephon Marbury and Brown were going at it. As coaches, you don't go and criticize your own player who – it appears probably going to be here past Rex's era. He's a rookie. He's injured. They should definitely take a look at what happened with RG3. I mean, it's clearly defined that Geno Smith is slated to be the future quarterback of this team. Why push the kid out there to get hurt? I mean, you look at a kid who never played center. He always played from shotgun. You know,
right.
you look in college football is definitely played differently than professional sports. I mean, you look at the NFL, the guys are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster than the kids are in college, which they are, most, you know, kids. So I listened to Rex's comments again. I think he used a poor choice of words. I think he should have stated that he struggled, you know, to use those words there. It's, you know, it's questionable, definitely questionable.
So you kept it in the house.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they definitely, Sanchez is definitely a good starting quarterback. Like I said from the onset of training camp, that Sanchez, he's got to be the starting quarterback. This kid.
Oh, he ain't
got to
be. He ain't got to be.
He's got to be. I mean, it's not like you. It's not like they brought a quarterback in here like Donovan McNabb, or you know, to come in here as a backup, and now he plays better and you put him up there. I mean, he's what are options? Why put a kid in there that's not ready with an offense that can't protect him?
Well,
they had three.
I disagree with that one. They had other three quarterbacks wasn't ready. They did well. Wilson, RG3, Luck. They wasn't ready. They did very well.
Yeah, they weren't ready, but they was put into a fortress, not a house of straws. So, if you're going to put a quarterback, you can put Tom Brady in there. He'll continue to, especially, I think it would be more detrimental for a guy like Tom Brady, who's a pocket quarterback. He's like that because he has the protection. But you put him in a situation that the Jets have, he'll be in trouble. His knee will be the last thing you would have to worry about. You know?
Mm.
You have to have the talent around him to protect the quarterback. Even RG3, Joe Montana, you have to have the quarterback protect in this league, especially when you have these defensive backs, defensive ends, strong safeties. These guys are fast and strong. The quarterback, I mean, how many guys you can say that in the league that are like Ben Roethlisberger, and he gets hurt as big as he is. You put a guy in there like Tom Brady, yeah, he's a tall guy, but is he a big, muscular, or stocky guy like you would say Ben Roethlisberger is? Absolutely not. So
watching his
bias
is obviously showing, as far as I'm concerned, because for the 3 years that the other guy's been sinking up to join as a starting quarterback, okay, he is never, and goodness knows, he's had plenty of occasions where he could have, okay? Never ripped him like that. Never.
Not in public. But actually, Rex was going to bench Sanchez. Remember Sanchez made the comment that he felt like he wanted to fight Rex? Because he thought he was planning on benching him that year. I believe it was in his second year. So, you know, I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making it. I listen to the comments over and over. I still think he's a good coach. I believe this is going to be his last year. He has 2 years left on his contract. But you look at the schedule they have, I think the defense would be solid this year. I would say in the top five, top seven defenses in the NFL this season, just to be solid there. It's the shaky offense you have to worry about. You can't get anywhere in this league unless you score points, namely touchdowns. You can't win scoring touchdowns, getting into the red zone 5 out of 7 times in a game and coming out with 3 points. Just not going to work. You look at the Giants when they won the Super Bowl under Parcells the first time when they were playing the Buffalo Bills. The Giants were never known to score high points. They were 21, maybe 24 scoring team, but it was their defense. But you had a good quarterback in Phil Simms. You had a good
I think Simms is great, but
you know, you don't have that here in the Jets. You know, if you look, I was listening to Michael Kay where they had Joe Namath on there, and he was saying, you know, Sanchez has to be the starting quarterback. You cannot, I repeat, throw Geno Smith into the situation that it is now. Look at Andrew Luck. Is he going to backslide, or is Indiana, the Colts going to have a good season this year? You know, so you have to look at all of these situations and variables. You have a lot of rookies. Santonio Holmes, he's not going to play. He may not. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Santonio Holmes don't play at least two games before the bye week. So the Jets, they're on the bottom looking up. And I don't think they're going to move up that far this year.
Hmm. Any progress, there's going to be definitely a big plus factor. The big key is tomorrow night's game is really an important game, and see what happens, how the fans, you know, boo Sanchez. As it seems how I think they're going to allow him to show them what he can do. But as what you've said so redundantly here, Cincinnati C, a.k.a. NFL 401, he has a short leash. And what's also here is that it's Coach Ryan that's walking the dog to a certain degree here. So, but
he needs Scooper.
Well, I think you have Rex Ryan and Sanchez. They're both on a short leash. Like I said, with this schedule here,
but you know what? It seems that Sanchez can be the out, because I mean the question, and I'm surprised you didn't shoot it at him too there, Mel Cosell, is that, you know, with this house cleaning, I mean it's good to a degree. How did Ryan escape? You know, how did Ryan escape? Unless what I say, apropos is that the emphasis and the responsibility was placed on Tannenbaum, because at one time he Tannenbaum was Teflon. Nothing that went wrong with Tannenbaum's place. Nothing. And it seems that they finally woke him and said, hey, you know what? Boom. He went. On the other hand, what happens if the Jets do well? What if they turn around and have a 10-6 season? What if they turn around and be 9-8 and make the playoffs? What if Sanchez reverts back to old form? So we see Sanchez and Ryan here, or is it the big thing that people are saying, Cincinnati C, that the better Sanchez plays, he's showcasing himself to go someplace else? Yes or no?
I definitely agree with the latter, what you said. He's really playing for his job next year on another team. Rex Ryan is I would say, 40-60 lame duck coach at this point. You know, at the training camp, you see Geno Smith. He's athletic. He has an arm on him. He has the speed. But there's one thing he's lacking is the experience and around him. So even a good quarterback like Peyton Manning, when he came out, he struggled. Hmm. They didn't win for a while either. So when you take a quarterback like that who's coming out of college, it just goes to show you the difficulty of playing in the NFL. You don't see the dominant teams like you used to see in the 70s, in the 80s, and a little bit of the 90s. You just don't have that anymore. You know, everyone's looking at the 49ers as the team that may repeat. It's very hard to repeat in this NFL today. With the salary cap, you just don't have the luxury of keeping those teams together to, you know, fight for the second, third time, as you see in some teams like in the NBA, to give an example, or in the Major League Baseball, where they have these long-term contracts. There's a lot of variables in the NFL. You know, as Damian Woody said, if A-Rod had played under the auspices of the business structure of the NFL, if it was like that in Major League Baseball, he'd have been gone a long time ago. So, I mean, you look at the Giants, too. I mean, they don't have an easy schedule either. And look at their history. They could win 7-8 straight. Second half of the season, they tend to, you know, start to lose guys.
Yeah.
So with the Cowboys, which I expect to do a little bit better this year, then you got RG3, who I think is going to have a better year than he had last year, despite of the injury to his knee. He's just a great athlete. You might not see him run as much, but they definitely have a good running game, a great passing game with them. The defense is pretty decent as well. So the Giants are not off the hook either. They're probably more under the fire than the Jets. What I would say, they definitely under the fire as more as the Jets, because they have the tools and the players to do it. Jerry Reese, he wants it done. Time to get it done. They just have to stay healthy. I think they'll have a good year. I'll give the Giants 11-5.
Can they get to the Super Bowl?
I think they can. The Giants have to answer the difficulty that they have in the second half of the season. I think that's where the Giants' main problem lies. JPP, he needs a big breakout year. He needs to get healthy. I think Justin Tuck, if he stays healthy, he'll get his mojo back. You have Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Eli Manning, you look at the preseason game, they haven't lost a step. So I think that the Giants do have a better chance of making it, but I think they also they under the, I would say, the hot lamps and the pressure more is expected of the Giants. They're the big brother of the New York sports teams, all of the New York sports teams, if you look at it. So they're the ones, expected to win.
Is there extra pressure on them to allude to the fact that the Super Bowl is being played in New York? I mean, that's the kind of thing that the team, the city that hosts the Super Bowl, the one thing they want is their team to make it. Is that a added pressure?
I think definitely it's an added pressure to the Giants That's one of the things that Jerry Reese talked about, was to focus on winning, get to the postseason, and to win in a Super Bowl at home. It's definitely would be a historic event for the Giants to not only come back and win, is to make it to the postseason, play a Super Bowl at home in an open-air stadium, which hasn't been done in the history of the National Football League.
Well, that's another point. A lot of people are upset. They say, wait a minute, you know, the whole idea of playing the Super Bowl was to play it on a neutral site. Okay, I mean, that you can't help that, But the other problem was you wanted to play it in a situation that you had good weather. I mean, there's a chance that you could have cold weather. There's a chance you could have snow. I mean, the cold weather changed, okay, they have no problem with it, but the idea of playing the Super Bowl was to play on neutral site and a field that allowed the performers to perform at their best. I mean, there's a good chance. I was talking to Harry Perez, who's been a long-time Giant. He said, you know, I hope they have a blizzard. I mean, as Rooney said, they should put domes on these stadiums. I don't understand how they don't do it, but the plus is, yeah, okay, so if the Giants win, it's their stadium. The other plus is they're used to cold weather. But the whole idea of playing the Super Bowl was to play it on a neutral site. I mean, here's $100, spend it the way you want. Now you're telling me here's $100, but you only just spend $50. Your take on that. We'll do the whole panel, too. I mean, I think they went away from what the whole concept of this was, good weather and a chance for players to play at their best. This chance, it can somehow be negated by playing a football game in the cold weather in New York City, Cincinnati. See, you start to question it, we'll go down the line.
I mean, it could definitely be viewed as advantageous to either the Jets or Giants, who may make it to the Super Bowl if that will to happen, unless you, if in terms of the AFC, the Jets, if they some miracle they happen to make it to the Super Bowl, and then they come up against a team like the New York Giants, their rivals, cold weather team, or they play a team like the Saints, who are primarily a indoor team. Yes, it can be viewed as advantageous and for the home team, that being the Jets or the Giants, and disadvantage to a team such as the New England Saints or the Arizona Cardinals or San Diego Chargers, whoever it may be. But you also look at it, this is something that is revolutionary to the world of the NFL. Into the area of New York City, metropolitan area. So there are a lot of minuses and pluses to this, but I would expect that the NFL. I mean, I would like to see it. I'm glad that they MetLife Stadium won the bid.
Yeah, they're gonna make a lot of money, man. It's like this, like the WrestleMania.
You spread it around. I mean, you know, because you have to look at it, too. The NFL is trying to get people, you know, maintain people in the seats, bring them into the stadium. Because remember, they're fighting the TV market. Why pay the high prices or, you know, what would perceive to be high prices for the to go to a stadium when you can enjoy yourself at home, the comforts of home? And with all these different packages and different cables and satellite TVs where you could see red zone offense or all of the touchdowns throughout the league for the week, or you get the NFL package or whatever it may be, where you could just about watch every game for the whole week.
Right.
So,
you know, see, as far as I'm concerned,
that changes it up.
Well, I was going to say, see, as far as I'm concerned, Doc, the big NFL news this year, besides the Super Bowl being held here, as far as I'm concerned, the real big news and the news which is going to affect a lot of names, big names in this league, and it's going to change the dynamic of the NFL, is that they're not going to be testing a sample test, yes, but they're not going to be testing for HGH, human growth hormone, and that is going to out a lot of guys. I think the first, I believe the first failing of that is going to be an automatic 4-game suspension. Well, you guys better get ready for a lot of guys to be serving four games, because
gonna
that's going to out
flies.
A lot of guys.
Going to be dropping like flies, boy.
That's the equivalent to 50 games in Major League Baseball, because you look,
yeah, I mean, four games.
That's
the quarter of the season. The thing here now, if they test them, are these four league games, or if they catch them, let's say, after the first preseason game, are they going to count the three preseason games, or are they going to count season games? Now, if they count the season games, well, I mean, if a guy gets caught, let's say, like last week.
I don't think they'll ever count the season games there, Doc.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I don't think because you look at a lot of guys right now. I don't see the Players Association and the National Football League too much moving away from that, because I think you'll get a lot more injuries. You know, you let the guys get into shape, you know, participate into training camp, get into football playing shape. You ban a guy from preseason, I mean, you're asking for major injuries, and you look at the injuries now where the guys are coming into the training camp, which, you know, they do the OTAs, you know, the off-season workouts and different things like that. You're still seeing the major injuries. Imagine taking a guy away from, you know, preparing for this grueling 16 weeks. Oh, you'll have a disaster. So I think you'll see them allow the guys to participate in training camp and on the preseason games, because you see the guys now that are getting rested, they're allowed to participate, and I agree with that. I agree with that.
I mean, if you're going to hit a guy, you want to hit him for
the games that count. I mean, if you catch a guy and, you ban him for three preseason games, you know, you're really not banning him from the games that count. And you also, it's an advantage for him and his team. But the thing that I'm here with, and I want to come back in just a second, Mike is going to join us. Of course, we got the Cisco Kitty here and Dusty. I want to do a quick commercial break. But I just want everybody's feeling. I mean, I still feel it's just cut and dry. A Super Bowl in a cold weather stadium. If it had a dome on it, I could buy it. But you just, I just never forget years ago, the column written by the late Dick Young. And it was after the Green Bay Packers and Cleveland Browns. And something hit me, too. You know, I said to Ali, beat all the great heavyweights of his era when he was past his prime. And I thought about Jim Brown, who was the greatest running back ever. Greatest football, and he did all of this under really adverse conditions. He played half his games in Cleveland. And you know it was cold in Cleveland. You know it was cold weather. You know, it just says a lot about...
This is what you have to understand. Does anybody understand that football is a cold weather sport, like ice skating? It's a cold weather sport. That these franchises came up and put up domes and you play in the hot weather, that's nonsense. Football is a cold weather sport. That's why you have it in the wintertime. You can't play. You're not going to play in 100 degree weather with all the pads and all that nonsense. You play in the winter. Okay.
I think it's more revolutionary.
No, wait a minute. Hold. Listen.
Play it here.
You're not
whether
whatever
dome.
Your doc.
Yeah.
Whatever dome you play, whatever place you play.
Let me tell you something. It's a cold sport, but you know what? Guess what? More injuries happen in the cold weather.
Then they should ban football because it started in the cold. It's played in the cold. Come on, stop this club
nonsense. Because of the season that it starts. But the problem with that is that if you have players playing in the cold, they're more susceptible to injuries. That's not good for the sport.
I don't agree with that, but gentlemen, Sports and Deaf Nation, I'm going to move on to another assignment. I'll give a prediction for tomorrow's second preseason game, New York Jets 17, Jacksonville Jaguars 6.
Okay, so
in closing, I want you to keep a close eye on, and I quote, Sanchez the Savior.
I sure will. And we'll probably come to you live to the Sports and Deaf Nation live from the game.
Yeah, we'll be looking live from the game tomorrow and also sponsoring some stuff down with SSC. Thank you, Cincinnati C, AFL, Mr. No 401. Dusty, you know, the point you make is on the money. But you know what happened, Dusty, too? When the season started, and you bring it go back on the money because, you know what, the season started in September. They were done by December or November. That's when they had the only 8 games a year. The point you make is on the money. But now, Dusty, when they're going into these 16-game seasons, remember, Dusty, the Super Bowl was done by December. Done. Season done, Super Bowl done. Now, Dusty, they're playing the second February.
The Super Bowl is in the 2014, I know. I know it goes into the next year. But the fact of the matter is that – my argument here, debate is you cannot worry if it's going to play in an open dome or closed dome. I saw one of the coldest games, I believe, was Cincinnati Bengals with Montoya and the other guy, the bookends, Forrest Gregg. I believe was a coach of one of those teams. I mean, my Lord, there was cold on top of cold on top of cold. That's what the game is all about. Lambeau Field, one of the coldest areas. And the Giants went there, and I'm saying, poor Giants, they're going to get killed. What happens? They killed the Packers. That was where the quarterback was there. And the Giants played without sleeves and all that. They won. That was the day Jerry Reese took over, and they won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what the game is all about, is they're geared. They're geared for that. You have to play it in cold weather. You're not going to play it in summer.
Well, you're right.
Dusty, I agree with you partially in that. You know, all those pads and helmets, you don't want guys playing and
falling
out because they're playing it. But by the same token, Dust, I don't want guys playing in 0-degree weather, man. I don't want guys playing in 5 minus Celsius degree weather. I mean, I want them to be as close to optimum conditions as possible.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Dusty is right about the fact that the game is played in the winter. But you know, science now has proved that playing in the cold can produce more injuries because your body needs to be warm.
Absolutely, your body is cold. Yeah,
lubrication, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you know, in football, there's a high degree of injuries. So, why make players more susceptible to injuries by putting them out in the cold just because the game started that way?
The point you bring to Cisco is the fact that it started out as a cold weather game, not really freezing. You know, you're right. The jury service said, you know, the kid. You played the sports that came with the seasons. But what happened here, too, besides the longevity and extension of the seasons, you know, when they put in the AstroTurf, I mean, that was just kill. I mean, Carl Sayers talked about that in his book. You know, it made the players so much accessible to injuries more of a severe level. So as the game, a cold weather game, basically a fall game, you took us into inclement weather, and you took us into the players. I mean, Eric Swan told me every year they would send the players a questionnaire, do you want AstroTurf or grass? And every year the players would say grass, and they still put the AstroTurf. I'm just referring, and I'm giving Dusty this three-year, $18 million contract. I'm giving Cisco this two-year, $15 million deal. Rooney's got this four-year, $20 million, and I got 1 year left to play the hoops here. And you would put this kind of money, but this kind of talent on a field that's inducive to them being injured. I mean, the owners
getting slammed down.
That's a chance you take.
Tons of frozen tundra at that. Frozen turf. Are you kidding?
That's a chance you take. That's why they have the different cleats, longer cleats, shorter cleats. I remember the Pittsburgh Pirates when they won the World Series, I think it was Baltimore. Somebody correct me. I mean, they were playing in snow. This is the guy that I remember, Omar Moreno, a Panamanian. The man came out of left field, leaped, and caught a fly ball. I forgot the opposing team, and he slid all the way from left field to almost right center catching a ball. They had to take him out, put him into a clean uniform because it was all snow and sleet. That's a chance you take. If you missed that ball, that would have been extra innings.
Yeah.
Well, this is
here, but with baseball, you can understand that part of the thing. Early part of the season,
it was already snowing, Doc.
And the last part, yeah, we're talking October. We can understand that in baseball. Thinking about Clemente, opening pitches today, I opened up with the best right hand pitch I ever saw. Without question, the greatest Latin pitch of all time, the Dominican Dandy, 243 wins, 244 games. The great mash. I knew you knew Dusty. The great mash. The next pitcher is Bernard Hopkins, who the next pitcher. The next pitcher is mash. The first pitcher. The next pitcher is RG3. And it seems that the Redskins are doing. It's an amazing thing about the Redskins. You look back at how things are. The number one player, the player of merit, notoriety, that's carrying that franchise is African-American. And the Redskins were the last team in the NFL to get an African-American player and the owner. Stipulated when he died that none of his money, he was wealthy, could be used in any way, shape, or form in advancing or aiding in anything of a civil rights nature. RG3 is our next pitcher. Bernard Hopkins finally has an opponent. He's going to be fighting at Atlantic City. We'll talk more about that down the line.
Retire, please.
Stop it, Mel.
Retire. What's the guy going to do? Fight till he's 100? I mean, let's make some sense here, Muscles. Let's make some sense here, okay? This guy's going to be fighting until he's 100 years old?
100
years old. He's going to be walking in the ring with a cane talking about, come on, let's fight. I mean, you know, let's make some sense here.
If you were to be fighting yourself. You get to make $3 or $4 million or maybe even more per fight, and you have an easy fight. He's not fighting any tough fights.
Hold on, Cisco. And our last pitcher, Danny Jacobs, our next to last pitcher. And we close it out with the greatest close in history of baseball, Mariano Rivera. Cisco, you're on the money. I just remember, Rooney, I remember what Larry Holmes said. It's hard to stop doing the best thing in life.
That guy has a ton of money, man.
How about leaving with your brain cells intact? Why the hell with the money, okay? Guy has $100 million, and he's talking about the money. The hell with the money. How about leaving with your senses intact?
He still has his brains, man. He has his brains. He's lucid.
That's for how long?
He's lucid. He still has a brain. The one that you got to worry about is Pacquiao. When a doctor says he's already got dementia, his hands are shaking, and he's slurring his voice. That's Pacquiao. That's the guy you got to worry about, not a Hopkins.
That stuff affects you way after your career is over, man. What about 2 years after
he's
retired?
That's his worry.
What about 2 years after he's retired?
Let me tell you something. Bernard Hopkins is not worried about what you think right now. He's making
money. Exactly. He's making money.
Bernard Hopkins, you know, he's a smart guy. The guy doesn't want punishment.
If he was smart, he would have retired years ago.
Wait, you see what kind of fight he fights? He fights a safety first fight. He's a defensive.
Exactly.
The guy doesn't want to get beat up. You've never seen Hopkins beat up.
You can't turn that kind of money down. It's like stealing money from a baby.
When you
refuse to understand. And Ronnie, we understand what you're saying. Ali said, you know what? I never forget that line. Ali said, you know, Ali talked about, you know, I understood where the people were coming from that stripped me and banned me from fighting, but I just thought they'd understand where I was coming from. We understand what you're saying, Rudy, but do you understand Bernard Hopkins? He's not a rocket scientist, okay? He doesn't have a master's degree. You know, he may not even have a high school degree, okay? But what he does better than these kids who can't do it. These kids
and he's not
going to
be hurt.
Yeah,
he's not going to be hurt.
And not to mention, you know what?
Mayweather right now.
Our good friend Joe Mayweather said one time, he said, once you make a million, you can figure out something to do with another million. And it's money to be taken.
Floyd Mayweather right now. Let me tell you something right now. If Floyd Mayweather was matched with six opponents, okay, because he's picking and choosing who he wants to fight.
Yes.
If they were to say, okay, you're going to fight Andre Ward, you're going to fight Sergio Martinez, you're going to fight these six guys, okay, and they're all tough. You think Floyd would have signed that contract?
Hell no.
Because he knows. Right now, he knows if he gets by Canelo, which seems to be the toughest route, and the only reason why Canelo was chosen for this fight was because they didn't make money in the last fight, and they saw
there you go,
that
there you go,
started,
there you go.
This,
and Canelo himself, Canelo had messed things up himself by pulling out the card. He pulled out that card, which would have made everybody money, but he still had his own fan base.
He wouldn't sign a contract to say win or lose because it wasn't about him. Losing to Guerrero, it wasn't about him losing. Even if he lost to Guerrero, there was still a money fight for him with Canelo.
Yes,
so Canelo was like, hey, man, let's sign this contract. Win or lose, we'll fight each other. And
exactly.
Floyd said no because Floyd didn't want to fight him. Floyd, the only reason why this fight got made is because there was money being lost because of the Guerrero fight because nobody cared about the Guerrero fight. The guy that Showtime lost about $12 million for that fight. And then on top of it, They make the guy. You know, they wouldn't fight him if he didn't fight at a catch weight.
Exactly.
So what do we have now?
We have a
fight.
That's all you need to know.
The guy has a deficit going into this fight, and Floyd wanted to.
Is that Guerrero fight?
Everybody hold tight.
Rooney,
give me a minute. Everybody hold tight. They take a break here. Captain Daly, what's that? Blog Talk Radio on the Such a Guard Radio Network on Friday. Looking back on what happened. And what is supposed to happen as the weekend begins? And we also have to thank our sponsors, DTJ Productions, Deja Gotamasso Jr., International Promoter Extraordinaire from Brazil. And that's the studios that we broadcast from when we are live from Fortaleza, Holly Braza, Louis Souza's renowned restaurant in Fortaleza, the best number 3-star hotel in all of Brazil, Justino's iconic Clavajada, and one of the top 5-star hotels in all of Brazil, Marina Park, and it's Chipito's late at night. You're hungry, you want to eat a little something? Take it, eat that, shake that burger, you call Chipito's. They'll be there. Best food, best service, not only in Fortaleza, but I feel in all of Brazil. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Gang, we've got Professor Elliot back with us, and with that, we're talking about the WWF, and we're going to get to him a minute, as you know, he gives a limited time. And Rooney, we talked about yesterday. Professor Elliot, you know, you had the first wrestling show on in New York City. Your reaction yesterday to one of the wrestlers coming out and saying that he was gay?
Hey, if that's your thing, that's your thing. As long as you don't bother little children, that's all I'm concerned about. Because in this world, there's a lot of degenerates in every sport.
Well, it seems, yeah, there seems an acceptance because now Fenomeno Martinez announced that he's getting married before one of his major
Cruz,
fights.
Not Martinez, Cruz.
No, the first guy that came out, what was it, Fenomeno?
The boxer?
Yeah, a boxer. 120.
Cruz.
Is it Cruz is his last name?
Cruz, yeah.
What? Oh, I thought it was Lou. Yeah, all right. Well, he came out and he's going to get married. There was no reaction to it. That's just the business. I mean, that's just
their personal life.
Funny,
that is so funny that with this happening, because Bernard Hopkins talked about the intellect and the savvy that Emil Griffith kept his sort of lifestyle. You know, it was something that was sort of taboo with Emil's time, and a lot of people knew it, and you know, frowned on it. And yet, there's no frowning. There's no frowning on this at all, Professor Elliott.
Right. No, there shouldn't be.
Okay, but I understand that.
Orlando Cruz, he's talked about that he's going to get married. So
yeah, a phenomenal, yeah.
And the wrestler that you're referring to, Doc, is Darren Young.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Elliott, Darren Young, name, that ring a bell? You know something about that?
So he's an up-and-coming star, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had any...
He's a preliminary guy. He's primarily a tag team wrestler. He usually opens the prelims, usually opens the shows.
Rooney, I got Professor Elliott here, so I want you to go back and forth, give some WWE insight. Professor Elliott, the feeling here, too, was that this announcement was also a situation that would bring the wrestler some notoriety and maybe a bigger fan base. Your thoughts on that?
Okay, but the thing is, you know, the man is doing what he has to do. That's all. What he does in the ring is one thing. What he does on the outside with his private life, that's his business. That's all.
Wow.
Well, it's not going to be only his business, Doc, because it's my feeling that since this is now out, that WWE Creative is going to use that in the storyline, and I think he's actually going to get extra push because of this. So I know WWE Creative is writing as we speak some storylines involving his coming out. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to use that to give him some type of push, you know, in the storyline because of the coming out of being gay. So I'm sure
the thing is, why does everybody come out after the fact? You know, they come out of the closet like woodwork, you know?
Because now they're not afraid. I mean, before in sports, it's a macho thing, man, in any gender.
Right.
Yeah, but let me tell you something.
If you play tennis, you were looked upon as I mean, is he really a man?
Yes, right.
But you know, but the fact of the matter is that all these macho sports are macho sports.
Yeah,
that we have a lot of guys who
Jason Collins started this whole thing.
That's a transvestite. That's a change. I'm talking about a person who's in the closet.
Ooh,
you know,
ooh,
who's
like
in the closet,
like,
and he knows what he or she is, and is afraid to come out because of the fact that, hey, how could he play football? And how could he be a boxer? How could he be a baseball player? How could he be a football player? How could he be a
boxer?
You know, and then if you play tennis, you're suspect.
This guy Orlando Cruz comes out, right? He comes out and he says, I'm openly gay or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which is all good. That's his prerogative. But how good is he? You know, how good is he not coming out and saying they're gay? Comes the question, why are they coming out? I mean, is it for publicity or because they can and it gives them some kind of notoriety? Because, I mean, this guy Orlando Cruz, I mean, he doesn't look like a world beater to me. You understand what I'm saying? He's getting more publicity because he came out and he said he's openly gay.
I saw him fight three times. He wasn't a world beater, but he has a lot of talent, plain and simple.
I'm not saying
he's a world beater, but he beats the guys that he's fought.
Probably won't be talking about this guy in another few years. I'm telling you right now.
Well, he's not going to get past Mickey Garcia, that's for sure. Or Orlando Salido, who's his next opponent. That's his Waterloo.
Is Cisco, did he propose to his boyfriend on the website? Did he propose?
I don't know who the heck he is. They never mentioned the fight. He just said that he's getting married.
He never talked about who he's who his lover
right.
is, but he's... He already
proposed, that's what they were saying.
I just think if these guys were top athletes, right? These guys were top athletes. Like, let's say, you know, I mean, this would be crazy, but, you know, Michael Jordan said, hey, I'm gay. You know, that would be a different story because these guys are top. Because a lot of these guys that are coming out are really guys that are, you know, that under the radar. And all of a sudden they get above the radar because they're coming out the closet. I mean,
The first one was Jason Collins. He started this.
Collins. My thing here, I'll start with Professor Elliott. Do you think, though, that they're going to be singled out? And more importantly, would an opponent have a problem performing against him or fighting against him in your mind? I mean, everybody's not going to have your attitude, Professor Elliott. That's weird. Do you think guys are going to have a problem? Because now, you know what? What if this guy beats me, Professor Elliott?
So
well,
if guy beats me,
guys in a row.
Let me tell you something. We spoke about Elmo Griffith the other day, right? I mean, people knew he was gay. They knew he was gay. The world was circulating that he was gay. But because of his athleticism, because of his ability in the ring, it overshadowed everything.
The story that Tim Smith wrote, it simply said, yeah, you know he's gay, but you can't beat him. So what it is, but my thing is, well, now it puts an aftermath. How does a guy feel?
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I think what matters at the end of the day in sports is how good you are. You understand what I'm saying?
I remember Karl Malone, okay? and the few greater basketball players than Magic Johnson. You know, Karl was the guy that came out and said he had a problem playing on the same court with Magic Johnson. Now, what about if we have...
Magic Johnson had HIV. That was the problem.
That's the difference.
Okay. That was the problem.
Okay.
Oh, well, look, you're bouncing back and forth. Listen
to
this.
The guys are crying like sour. That's all fun.
The number one icon in boxing, suppose Floyd Mayweather says, I'm come out the closet, I'm gay. What's your reaction? That's a test case right there. The number one icon, man. The $30 million fight,
he's
going to make
$90
million.
He's
going to
make $30
million. He's left it all the way.
As long as he wins.
As long as he wins. That's it. And that's the problem. That's the thing.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're talking about Elmo Griffith. It's a perfect example of a guy, because of his abilities, no one questioned the fact that he was gay or not. You understand?
That's right. 185 fights.
One question. The point is, if you're a kick-ass, if Mike Tyson would have said, I'm gay, you know how many people would have feared that dude? Even more, probably. Because they felt, shit, he's gay. He might beat me up, and you know what? We'll have sex. You know what I mean? So the fact of the matter is, I think the scariest thing is to be a great athlete and be gay. Because I think people will fear you more because of it. You understand? It's like going to jail. It's like going to jail. You know, with inmates that are going to be looking at you as bait. You know what I mean?
So if you're gay,
we can't say nothing bad about my boy Mike Tyson. What? He's a homeboy like me from Brownsville.
Let me say this, all of the major sports have gay athletes. If you think there aren't gay guys in the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, pro boxing, pro wrestling, then I have a bridge to sell you. There are and have been gay athletes in each and every one of those major sports.
That's a fact. Of course it's a fact. The beef that I have is, hey, you coming out, but you guys have been at this for quite a while. Nobody knew about you guys. You weren't that good. Now you want to come out the closet to make a little bit of noise. You understand what I'm saying? So that's my thing. You know, if these guys were already openly gay before they became, you know, fighters or even a wrestler,
what you're saying, Cisco, it's more PR than it is revelation.
It definitely is. I mean, you see it.
He's all
over ESPN right now. Yeah. The guy is getting more publicity than some of the guys that are world champions.
Right, because of the fact that they're in a tough man sport. Just yesterday or last night, two dudes holding hands were beat up by four guys. I think it was in East Village coming out of a theater. I mean, there were nobodies, but the story came out. These two gays under the radar screen, got beat and all that. I mean, it's because, and I don't think it has anything to do with now I'm going to get more ratings, I'm going to get more money. It's just the fact that they now are encouraged. There's a lot of gay support people. And they're encouraged to finally get out of the closet. They can't hold a secret anymore.
But what I'm trying to say is that these guys are not top athletes.
Your point is okay. Everybody is right across the board. These guys' revelation, without question, is PR. Dusty, on the other hand, and Professor Elliott said the mindset is right on the money. You know, who cares as long as you can perform? The timing is right. Society is ready to accept it. And what Professor Elliott said, you know, I'm a promoter. I'm gonna tell you something. There's some clubs. I remember a guy, my great friend over who does the Cotton Club, and he was saying, you know, he was having some problems, and he said, you know, some gays guys came in and said, hey, we'd like to book Tuesday night. He said, hey, man, the place is packed. I make money. What you telling me here? You know, it's again, if they can bring in the dough, you don't care how they show. And if they make the money, that's the bottom line. If they perform well and they can bring in the money, who cares? But, you know, it's
and
a lot
Darren
about...
And in Darren Young's case, Doc, WWE is going to push that. And then Darren Hunt and Darren Young's case, I think it's actually going to help his career. Well, as I said, WWE is going to push that in the storyline. And he may, you know, get some type of elevation from preliminary card status along with his tag team partner, Percy Hawkins. And he may get close to the mid-card status depending on how WWE writes him into the storylines and how they decide to push him. In Darren Young's case, I think it may actually help him.
Okay, if it ain't one guy, it'll be somebody else. That's all.
Everybody's said here, you know, it's about talent, not what you are. It's what you do. Let's look at this then. What we're saying is that sports then, to a certain degree, more so than society, gentlemen, will accept you if you can perform. Is that somewhat we can say that as long as you can perform, as long as you can put dollars in the pocket and butts in the seat, sports will is more apropos. Professor, you want to start more apropos to accept this than other
parts
of society?
Well, you can get away from sports and look at Liberace, man. Music. The man was openly gay.
No, he wasn't openly gay.
He was openly gay, and he was had that multiple of boyfriends and all that crap.
Liberace wasn't openly gay.
He was in the closet? Are you for real?
No, he wasn't.
Elton John is gay.
Did you read a story about him?
Dude, I actually read... I've read the story about him. Actually, seen a movie that was on with
HBO.
Michael
Douglas.
Liberace.
Liberace.
This kid from the Bourne movies.
Matt Damien.
It was pretty explicit. The movie was pretty explicit. I couldn't believe
it was. But it was legit.
Deep.
And a story that really
if you read about the story, Liberace.
One of the tabloids once wrote. Indeed, that Liberace.
Yeah, but Liberace did
an
autobiography of himself.
He sued them and he won. Okay, so, you know, that's the deal. They said that he was gay. He sued, he won.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
What you're saying is people knew, but nobody said. And if Liberace is gay, you could speculate all you want. You may have known all you want. But he could not come out, and nobody could come out and say he was. It wasn't you said, wow, you know, he's kind of different, he's kind of laughing. I mean, the big word, little Richard, well, he's strange, he's different. But nowhere then.
One second, guys. Is anybody getting hurt? No.
No, nobody's getting hurt.
No.
Man.
Okay,
no.
You cannot knock success, okay? You cannot do that. All these guys became millionaires and millionaires. Meantime, half the people today are broke, they're not working, they're unemployed, and some of them are laying in the street with nothing, no place to live, no place to eat.
Yep. By the way,
they fight, and now they want us time to fight Salil. It's a championship fight. in the three fights, he scored a knockout. So, I mean, that's not so much he came out of the closet. He fought a competitive dude and had enough power to knock the dude out. Now, Salida's going to kill him, this is my opinion, but he's getting a title shot. You know, no, really. Okay. I think Salido's going to kill him. Salido beat Mickey Garcia. I don't know why they took it away from him.
No, he didn't beat
Mickey. On a freaking broken nose. That was
crazy.
A bunch of bullshit.
Salido did not beat Mickey Garcia.
He was killing him before they broke his nose.
No, he wasn't. Yes, he was.
In the two rounds before they stopped it, he was hitting Mickey Garcia. And then he had a headbutt. He
wasn't winning that fight. By far, he was winning that fight.
I'm not saying he was winning. He was killing him in the last two rounds before they stopped it. He was hitting Mickey Garcia with right-hand shots.
He had a bloody nose, but I don't think he was killing Mikey. They stopped it because the things were looking kind of ugly. I mean, I didn't think they should have stopped it. I mean, fighters fight with broken hands,
broken
jaws, etc. I thought they should have continued that fight, but they
used... But what I'm saying to you, in the round before it was stopped, he was hitting Mickey. Mickey got a little shook up.
But he was
getting hit.
Behind.
Yeah.
I don't think he was gonna beat Mickey. Not at all.
Well, we don't have the 12 rounds. We only have 9 rounds. But he was getting to Mickey. And that's the point that I'm saying.
He was getting to Mickey
with right hand. Come on, man.
Mikey was kicking his butt. Mikey scored a knockdown again.
Yes, he scored a knockdown. But in the later, I'm telling you, in the later rounds, he was hitting Mickey and staggering him. When their heads collided, he broke his nose. Okay, you saw something, I saw something different. I mean, we will never be parallel.
Hold on, gang. Let's get to some commercials. Final, we'll be right back. Doc Stanley, sports.
Yes, sir.
On Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust of God Radio Network, we are here on a Friday looking back over the week and what's going to happen as the weekend comes about. On Monday, Danny Jacobs fights tomorrow. It's the IBF middleweight champion, Gale against Barker. And all week long, the big conversation has been A-Rod, and the other conversation has been what in the world and when in the world is Derek Jeter going to play? Alfonso Soriano, two back-to-back games of two home run games, 13 RBIs in two games. Yankee teams kind of have right in their ship. Big weekend as they go into Boston. They're trailing Boston by 7 games. They can sweep from Boston. They can come back and get back into the playoff picture. It seems that Jerry Buss has said some negative stuff about Mr. Howard leaving L.A. because Howard doesn't say he's down in Houston. Charlie Manuel, 8 years, has been the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He got fired today. Giants and Jets weekend series. Both teams play at home on Saturday. It's the Jets at MetLife Stadium, and on Sunday it is the Giants at MetLife Stadium. It'll be the first time that Mark Sanchez will play in front of the home crowd after last year's horrendous season, and also the chance to look at none other than Victor Cruz as he has finally came into the fold. So the games are very interesting, very intriguing. It's all New York Football Week, and you know this year that Super Bowl will be played right here in New York City. One more time, let's go to the picture. The first picture, the Dominican Danny, the great Juan Marichal, 243 wins, 244 complete games. RG3, Rookie of the Year, the leader of the Washington Redskins. He's rehabbing, says he'll be ready for opening day. And Shanahan and the staff says, that's right, but you will not play any preseason game. Bernard Hopkins continues as the oldest man ever to win a world championship. He will be fighting in Atlantic City in the ensuing months. Danny Jacobs.
Who's he fighting?
I got to get that back. I sent that to you in an email to us.
Okay.
I'll get that. I got to go back to the studio. Danny Jacobs, feel good story. A guy who had cancer, seemed like he would never fight again, and was fighting for his life, is now fighting back in the ring. We take off his hat to him. And as the season moves on, it's August. Let's get a grip of this. Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in history of baseball, and the last man. You know, a lot of people forget the last man to wear Jackie Robinson, iconic number 42, is going to end this year. And with him going, will be the greatest closer in the history of the game and the first African-American player number. That of Jack Robinson. If you flip it around, it's the number.
Bernard,
the one and only.
Bernard Hopkins
made.
Is going to be facing Karol Murat, which no one knows anyway. So.
Yeah, is that the same guy he signed for before?
Yeah, I know him.
I'm not sure, but
like the same guy. Morat, I think.
Same guy, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, you know,
guy,
I know.
Like
that's the same guy. Is he the same guy?
I mean, they had a problem with the visa.
Visa, he had a problem with the visa. He couldn't come across.
It's the same guy.
Okay,
same
so
guy,
you know
yeah.
what happened? They worked it out, and now they worked it out for all intents and purposes because once you get a hand-pick opponent, the guy's not going to be a problem. And
but I know the guy.
He had options. He had Adonis Stevenson, who actually approached him during the weigh-in for the Zab Judah fight with Danny Garcia, and I'm pretty sure he didn't want to go that route. He could have chosen, you know, Andre Ward, but he ain't going to fight Andre Ward, so you can forget about that. Hopkins is not trying to find the biggest challenges out there. He's doing the same kind of thing that Floyd is doing. He's trying to make money. He's trying to take less risk. The guy is 48 years old. He's not trying to fight Godzilla. So
he's just going to fight nobody for the rest of his career.
Retire gracefully
and move on. You think he's not going to take any chances with anybody?
Wait, he's just going to fight
for the rest of his career. What's the point?
Rudy, the point is, if the people will come and pay for it, what Michael Catcher said, Bill, then they will
come. Doc, let me tell you something. We've had this discussion off the air, okay? My philosophy on fighters is it's better to retire a year or two too early than a year or two too late.
But Rudy,
okay?
we keep going through this, and we know you see something, and we're only asking you, like I said, Ali said,
but I know,
you know, I see your side. See our side. I mean, why should this man step? He's stealing this money, Rudy. And he's allowed to do it.
But can I say something?
Go ahead.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
my point is that you're right. He's stealing the money. But the saddest point is that the people are paying for it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Howard.
And the thing is that I think that what's going to happen. The Bernard Hopkins and Oscar De La Hoya, who's destroying the sport by doing this kind of sporting event and saying that is the saddest thing of our history in the boxing world. Until people start, and this is what I'm scared of. If we tell the people that this is garbage and they start turning off, it's going to be hard to bring some of those people back to the surface of boxing.
Wow.
And you're going to lose millions of people because it's going to take time to develop the right crowd of fighters that can really fight where you got these guys are just milking the sport. Bernard's a hustler. And right now he's hustling. And he's hustling good. He's hustling at $1 million a pop.
There's a sucker fight fan brawling every day who's going to see the fight.
And you got to understand that Bernard is not Einstein, and he came from the prison. And so right now, he is a guy that's trying to make as many million dollars he can while he's in the position that he's in, and he's doing it the way he thinks is right. Fight the softest opponent. No, everybody else is fighting soft opponents, so why not he fight a soft opponent? And get the money that he's going to get, $1 million, and keep on stepping. And he's doing what he likes to do. And I agree. I mean, you can stay in that position for a little too long, and one day it's going to creep up on you where somebody really hits you to the head. And all because we got to understand, this is scientists. I'm going to go to scientists now, right? We know that when you get into those 40s and 50s that your bones start deteriorating, and your mind cells start going, and you getting hit is just going to make it go faster and quick. So Bernard is thinking that he's beating time, but he's not. All he's doing is setting time to explode on him when he gets older. And when that happens, he's completely wiped out in life. And he won't even know who the hell his name is. But they think they got the situation. You keep getting pounded. You keep getting pounded in the gym. And then you go into a fight. You get pounded, okay? That's a lot of pounding, and you're 44, 45 years old, and you start when you hit that 50, and you get and your body just get relaxed, then everything starts setting in. And when it starts setting in, then it starts destroying the inside of your body, and that's when you become a vegetable. And that's
the marrow. How much is this?
And Howard just said basically everything. That I said, no, the guy is a guy coming from prison.
Okay.
The guy is not a rocket scientist. It's the best thing he does in life.
And as Marion Porkins says, Marion B. Porkins, black, bodacious, brilliant, one of the greatest boxing show in history of America. He's perpetrating the fraud. But people are buying it because, you know, it's sad and touching,
yep,
as Harold says, and a point well taken by Rooney. You know, a lot of these people don't have a clue. I mean, Hopkins at every press conference, talking about my legacy. And people are buying into it. And as long as they're going to buy into it, he's going to sell it to them. I mean,
nobody's here's a codicil to your statement. When Pacquiao was robbed by the Bradley fight, and they were saying this is why people are turned off and this, that, and the other. Larry Merchant made a remark, which surprisingly I agree. He says no matter how bad boxing is, no matter how many opponents the judges rob fights and how bad they perform, you'll always have a boxing fan. You'll always find somebody that will go into the arenas to see a match.
Exactly,
that's how addicted we are. We are addicted to this.
But you got a different element of people out here now. Now you got the MMA, you got the UFC, you got those kind of sports, it's combat sports. My point is that boxing is starting to become a joke. And, I mean, it's starting to be, I mean, in wrestling, we know pretty much how the guy's going to, who's going to win in those fights, all right? And boxing starts to come that same form in a situation. We know who's going to win this fight with him, Burn. You guys don't even know who the heck this guy is that Burn us fight. That's sad.
Never heard of him.
You never heard of him either.
That's the end of the right there. The media don't even know who he is.
It doesn't compute.
The point is, what we're saying is, I think everybody has concurred to the fact, Rooney, we're just saying that if the guy can get away with it, and Dusty too, there are people who think they know. It's like sports talk radio. You know, you get people calling in thinking they know what they don't know, and they really don't know. But people think they're experts.
There's an example. Saturday we're having a fight. A championship fight with two Europeans. Do you expect a full house there? I guess you're going to find a whole bunch of Europeans there, because who really knows these guys? Barber is known because he got a trashing for 11 rounds from Martinez, but this is his first time back. The other guy, Gale, beat Felix Sturm. Who beat Felix Sturm in Germany? Nobody does, but he did. So now they come with these credentials. They only both lost one fight apiece. Intercontinental,
right.
British middleweight champ, and all those titles.
And
they're fighting a main event in here, and people are going to turn out to see these people. That's what I'm saying. There's always a dude who's going to say, I don't know who's fighting, but I'm going to see the fights. Hopkins is stealing money.
You turn into a fight, Dusty, not because you're a fan, because you're a connoisseur. You turn into a fight, everybody else here, because, this is what we do. So we have to keep abreast of what's happening. And what happens is, one of the things that makes these fights happen, and Harold saw that when he was matchmaking at Madison Square Garden, is what Patty Dreyfuss once told me, and John Condon, the casinos can do this, okay? Because they have a place to house the guy, to feed the guy, to train the guy, and they got people who are going to come. They are not going to lose money, you know what I mean? And they've got a setup so they're making some money. And what's going to happen is, nobody knows about this fight, but HBO After Dark is doing the fight. So, it works.
Question, okay? I'm not a big boxing fan, but I understand what you're saying. Whatever happened to this guy, Roy Jones?
Roy Jones? He's a commentator.
Roy Jones Jr., came down from the heavyweight division, and when he came down from the heavyweight division, anybody started knocking him out. There's some talk, I believe, that, I don't know, Rudy, is a wrestler calling him out?
No, he wants to make a comeback in the ring.
Yeah, he's talking about making a comeback, Doc. I don't know about any wrestler, but I think he's talking
about another guy who should
stay retired, please. Stay retired, Roy. Will you please?
But you know what happened to guys like Roy Jones, and this is what happens to guys that been in that big money. That commentator ain't going to pay him nothing by like $10,000,
$20,000,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's so used to making millions of dollars every time he fights that, he can't cover what he normally can cover because you done built another expense monthly that you and your family and everybody can enjoy, but now that $1 million is not coming in no more.
And did he ever beat anybody big? So all the other guys he fought in the schoolyard.
Yeah, but right. But the fact Ray is, he's going to get, if HBO takes the fight, they're going to give him $1 million for the fight, and that's what he's looking for. That's all.
Is he worth it?
Not, Roy's not fighting on HBO, and Roy also is broke. You guys don't remember that he had some problems with the IRS about some time last year?
You didn't say broke.
I don't think he was. I don't think he was broke. I think he was on welfare.
Wow.
Well, that's the same thing. That's the same thing.
Wow.
You know, it's sad and touching. Harold's great line. It's sad and touching to see these guys. How was it? I mean, why is it? I know you go through the sport of boxing, and so much is blamed on promoters. So much is blamed on promoters. So much is blamed on, you know, how do these guys make this kind of money? I mean, you come from the streets where you're living up $10,000 a year, and all of a sudden, you know, you make these zillions, and you lose it. Harold, what's the story with that, Harold?
Ignorance.
Because you don't know about money first, okay? The other thing, you think is going to go on forever, okay?
Wow.
Because you're collecting.
Right. Absolutely.
And the fact is that if nobody takes a range on you and say, slow up, fool, this
and
is not forever.
And
all
save
right?
your money.
You're going to spend your money wildly because you're coming from nothing. You don't have no education about that big money. Let me just say this. If I take any of you guys and put y'all in the $1 billion club and say, here's $1 billion, handle it.
No, it's amazing.
That's a whole different world out there.
Just spend all that money.
I remember Howie Evans talked about the DJ told Mike, hey, Mike, you know what I mean? Calm down with your money. When I worked with Don King, and that was another great experience. Mike Brown, Eric Brown talked about how Tyson, like I was present, would walk into a car shop and take two or three cars off the floor. You know what I mean? And, you know,
yeah.
And Julius Erving.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike would walk in, and Julius Erving said when Charles Barkley joined the Sixers, every day Charles drove up in a new car, and Doc pulled him to the side and said, hey, how many cars can you drive at one time, man?
How many pair of shoes can you wear?
Yeah, how many pair of shoes?
Exactly. I mean, that's just what Julia said. I got two cars, one for me, one for you. But what you have to realize, Harold, is that unfortunately, the inhabitants of Yes Man and people, you seem to be one of the few guys who had people around you who cared for you. And more importantly, you took control. You gave them the money. Unfortunately, this is not the case, Harold, in a lot of cases, especially it seems in boxing or in sports in general.
The thing was me taking with control of my situation is that Gil and my father was my father's, okay? They wanted me to grow. So they wanted to see how I can handle this situation, all right? So this was like a test situation. And Gil told me, he said, I never had a fighter I never signed a contract with, and I never had a fighter to control the money. He said, but I'm going to see what you do. You make one mistake, I'm taking over. I said, no problem. When I came with that first check and had it down to the penny, he looked at me and smiled. He said, I'm proud of you. Those were the greatest words I can hear from him and my father when they said, because they don't give those words too often, okay? When they feel that you did something great, the word is, I'm proud of you. That means that you have accomplished something that they wanted to see out of their son. And that was the most important thing I had. And I controlled that situation. And he kept seeing how proud I was, how I just handed out checks to everyone. It wasn't cash, because everybody was handing out cash back in the day. I handed out checks.
Check.
To make sure that everything was taken care of when the tax man came on. And the tax man did come. And you know, I said, oh, no, bro, I don't owe you that much money. This is
and like they say, money talks and BS walks.
All right. And that was the whole thing of mine. So
yeah, right.
It worked that way. But my point is that I had I had people educating me and showing me, but they was testing me too at the same time. And that's what a lot of these young kids don't have out here today. They don't, and it's all about me. It's not about we. Back then, it was a we. Everybody around me, everybody had to eat. Everybody had to eat in the family. Not just one, everybody.
And that basically what he said, Don, is basically what it is, because I remember reading in the bike fight, Holyfield's purses were between 30 and 35 mil. And now this dude is flat broke. And Floyd, when he decided to retire the first time, he had to come back because he wound up with a $7.5 million tax bill. I said, who the hell is handling this kid's money? Somebody must have taken over his management, because now, supposedly, you assume that he's stable and he has a business going. But the fact of the matter is, these guys never saw that much money in their lives. They think it's like water coming out of a broken faucet. And the more you make, the more you can spend, and the more. Look at Johnny Saxon. You know what Johnny Saxon wound up on? My God, it's painful. A super in a cold water flat in Brownville, man.
And he died of
a stroke in the freaking building. They found him in the basement.
Yes, Manimo.
You know, it's sad. Coley Wallace, Tony Anthony, Coley Wallace. What was he? The bouncer in a freaking club, man. All the money he made.
What about all the good money that Mike
story
made?
Now, and I'll give you another sad story, and I'll shut up. Arthur Presley, you may have heard of him. Super lightweight champ of the world. Him and Carlos Ortiz had like a trilogy, or they fought. You know what happened to Arthur Presley? I was embarrassed to see the guy. Going to Stillman's gym, he would be standing in front of Stillman's gym begging for money.
Maybe he didn't
get to
do it.
And it is sad, because a couple of times I gave him my quarters, and I could not afford that. I'm lucky if I had $1.50 in my pocket. But the sadness. So you get, you know what I used to do? I saw him standing in the door of Stillman's. I would hide until he turned him back and got distracted, and I would sneak upstairs. So I'd not give him a quarter. What happens? The saddest thing was Lou Stillman came down while he was standing there begging. I said, hey, come on, Arthur, you got to get off my step.
Wow.
You know, you're bothering the people. The people are complaining. I said, look, here's $20. Go away. Don't come back. If you come back to my doorstep, I'm going to have to call the cops. Can you imagine that lightweight champ of the world making all that money? Carlos Ortiz, he blew a $350,000 purse when he fought the guy in Panama, and he came back. He wound up driving a fucking cab the rest of his life. That's sad.
Well, you can't count nobody's money, Rooney.
He you said that fight in Panama. Was that the fight against Laguna?
Laguna. Yeah. And the reason he beat Laguna, because he had a Tropicoro in the Bronx, Hunts Point. And he came back, and he pretended to be a drunk, and he was this, and Laguna says, I could beat the chump again. He kicked the shit out of Laguna. But, I mean, in a return. But
well, guys, I
got to
close out. I'm saying good night. Have a good night. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you for the good rap.
Yeah.
All right.
But he blew his money.
Thanks, Professor.
Yes, sir.
No, but
okay.
He blew his money. He didn't know how to control
it. Everybody say good night, Professor Elliott. Good night, Professor.
Good night.
Everybody say good night.
Good night. Have a good one.
Good night. Talk to you again. Ciao. God bless.
Okay. Yeah. That's LA. The first man to have a boxing radio show here in New York City.
No, wrestling.
Wrestling, Doc. You forget?
Yeah, I'm saying
W is not a D or a B.
That's what Al does. We do something different.
Before you go, what station was the show, and what was the name of the show?
The name of the show was called Professor Speaks.
Wow.
And what station?
That was WHBI 105.9, 1968 to 1984.
Wow.
Wow, good run.
Yeah, it was the very first professional wrestling show already.
The answer is Superstar Billy Graham. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
In the ring.
Hey, Dust, I'm in the black tights tonight, Dust, in the black tights. No hood.
Yeah, it's sad when you lose your money.
Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back, Ann.
I gotta walk back.
coming back to the show. Billy Paul, me and Mr. Jones, just left for the major a couple months ago. DJJ Productions, we'll be bringing him along with the business people and Air Supply. The ensuing months, so stay tuned. We'll let you know more about what's happening with that. And as always, we want to take time out and thank our brilliant sponsors, Tabajara, number one, Resort Hotel Oro Brazil. Marina Park, one of the best five-star hotels in all of Brazil. So, Pete, late at night, you want to get it right, get a snack, bite, or a sandwich, that's where you call. We also want to thank Louis Souza's number one restaurant, Sal e Brasa, and those, along with Deja Cotomasa Jr., who's now in town, who will be hosting the Brazilian Day September 2nd here in New York City on 6th Avenue, Brazil. So we have, we're looking to have him on our show here live. Just going back to the board. Real quickly, looking at the names of the pitchers. Juan Kiner's show. The great Dominican Dandy. 20 games he won 4 years in a row. 20 games he won 6 out of 7 years. No hits to Houston Astros. And on the lifetime ERA, 2.67. 243 wins. 244 complete games. RG3, Rookie of the Year. A leader, a quarterback, and a Heisman Trophy winner. And the Redskins will look through a lot of scouting this year when he gets healthy and comes back. Bernard Hopkins back at it again. Oldest man to win a World Championship will be fighting in Atlantic City in the ensuing month. Danny Jacobs, this Monday, at the Byright Theater. He'll be headlining the card. Got to give Larry Johnson a call to let him know what's going on. And Marlon Rivera, silently and quietly, season's getting away. He's going to leave, and he leaves. Not only will the greatest close in the history of the game be the game of baseball, but the last man ever to wear Jack Roosevelt Robinson, number 42, will also take that uniform along with him. Some of the names up there that we have in our chat area, Alex Rodriguez. Again, more conversation with Alex today. Some more allegations have been made. His attorneys have said that's just all they are is the allegations. Terrence Sanderson Jeter. Where's number two, which is apropos. Second to none as a player or a person. Everything that Joe DiMaggio was supposed to be, everything that Mickey Mantle was, a real live American hero. Don King and Ollie Frazier won. I put in there. You never forget. Greatest fight in the history of mankind and the greatest promoter, Don King. Also, we want to, we talked about Derek Sanderson Jeter. Spring training, he was going to be ready for opening day. Opening day, he was going to be ready by the All-Star break. By the All-Star break, he's going to be ready after the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, we're halfway through August. Derek Jeter hasn't played for 3 or 4 games. And the question is, will he play any more games this year? And now the question has to be asked, will he ever play any more games a year? Will he now be just relegated to the DH? The only Yankee ever to get 3,000 base hits. The only Yankee ever to win an All-Star game MVP. And we'll also look at the Mets, who in the midst of playing some very good baseball right now. The Yankees starting to get it rolling again, too. And they'll be playing the Red Sox tonight in Boston. And the Mets continue out in San Diego. And the Phillies today, by their manager, Charlie Manuel, they haven't been doing too well as of late. The question is now, you know, when you follow a guy like Jerry Manuel or any of these guys, you know, will Willie Randolph get a call?
They got somebody, Doc.
Who did they replace?
Ryan Sandberg.
Wow. You know what? You know, this is just so much. Sandberg was an all-star second baseman and a Hall of Famer, too.
Mr. Cole.
At the record with Chicago. It's just amazing now. Sandberg has no manual experience. Willie Randolph has. Yeah, because they'll say that, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's what Dusty Baker said. It just stays a good old boy network. And you just wonder how, you know, it just happens. Right away, I mean, you tell me that, I don't know. You know, but I do know. And I think we all know, too.
Stop. Can I ask you a question? Did you say Don King, the great promoter, with Ali won?
No. I said he's the greatest promoter of this year. Not Ali One. I put his name in the tag words. No, Ali One wasn't promoted by Don King.
I said
he's the greatest promoter. Ali One. That was the Garden and all those people there. In fact, you stole the big story about that whole thing. Your man Lou, Jack Kent, who put the money up. The Garden, who promoted the fight.
I don't know what she gets if she's a model though. The bitch is not a model.
And do you know what the Garden paid for the site fee for that fight?
What? I don't know what she gets.
$750,000.
But now, at that time that was a lot of money, right, Al?
That was a lot of money. It really was.
In the 70s.
Because they was only going to put up $1.5 million for the Ali and Frazier to split among themselves, saying $750,000 for you, $750,000 for Joe. And that's the way the deal was going to go down. Until came on and he said, I'll give y'all, you know, that's when Lou DiBella came about, and Lou got that $5 million and it split it down to $2.5 million for each fighter. And that was a lot of money, and that's when everything started going to motion.
Is that before taxes?
about the pros of South Dock. Are you doing mics on, lights off?
Like, oh, my wife is accusing me of fucking my cousin.
Man. Yeah.
Who this fool we got on the phone now?
I don't know. You're about to close South Dock. Are we doing mics on, lights off?
No, they're still alive, but anyway, that somebody might just be done. But, you know.
Don came in at the right time. I wouldn't create him as being the greatest promoter. I would create him that he came in at a time that he just made things much different. Because being a great promoter, the fights that he put on was fair because you got to understand he had control of the fighters that he was putting on. He didn't make fights. He just made situations happen. And my point is that the greatest fights was already done before Don King even came on the surface. And that's the way I'm going to look at it.
I mean, you know, but he gave us Ali Frazier 3. That was a hell of a fight.
I wasn't nothing that was going to be made regardless with Don King, without Don King. My point is that he's not the greatest promoter that ever lived. That's simple as
well,
that.
I never gave him that title. Well, I mean, you may not give it to him, but he brought us Ali and Foreman, and he brought us Joe and Ali 3.
They're going to be made regardless. They're going to be made regardless, whoever was out there.
Well, yeah, but the point is how he made them. Regardless how they were going to be made, you got to give him credit. He made it. Okay, we were going to win the game because we were on the two with four chances to go. Okay, Jim Brown didn't run it in, but Trey is in. We were going to win the game, but he ran the touchdown, and you got to give Don his props for making the fight.
I'm going to give Don. I said I gave him props. I'm not going to give him greatness.
Okay, well, I mean, okay, what are we going to do?
You keep saying, you say the words, and those words are so important. It's like, say, being married, okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't mean I wanted to be married to you, baby, but we got married. But no, that's not what I wanted, be married.
Harry, you're crazy. Hey, I gotta tell you a story about the marriage, too. Rudy, you got something for us, baby?
I just wanted to say right quick with Howard on the line, I hope we've had this discussion that we have about the fighters in retiring, and you saying that they should, you know, stick around and do what they do. But we've had this discussion at least 25 times off there. I hope now that you are ready to at least acquiesce that Howard said, the more this guy Hawkins and these old timers stick around, man, the greater risk they take, the greater risk that they chance. And later age,
you know,
because of
you know, let me
say
something, man. This argument is getting real old.
It's getting old. I just gave you some knowledge, my friend, and the knowledge is.
Wait. Let me say something here. Okay. The problem is not Bernard Hopkins. The problem is that the skill level in boxing is so diminished.
That's the bottom line, Rudy. We understand what you're saying.
That's
why
the
are you not getting what we're saying? The boy cannot do anything else, number one. Number two, it is the best thing he does in life. Number three, he's a hustler. Number four, people are paying for the hustle.
Is that the sport is diminished as far as skill level so much that a guy like Bernard Hopkins can fight at 48 years old.
He should be getting his butt licked by now. Yeah. I mean, Rudy, you keep seeing the glass half empty. It's half full. I mean, it's what Harold has said redundantly. He can do this because nobody else can do this. There's no elite fight in this game today. I mean,
the oldest world champion was Archie Moore, when he beat Yvonne Durrell back in the days. That was the oldest champion, and he scored, a third-round knockout in the light heavyweight division. That was pretty much it. You understand? But come on, I mean, Archie Moore is a legend. You understand what I'm saying? Archie Moore also was very old. He was denied many times of fighting for a world title. That's why he fought late into his career.
My point is, how many guys do you want to see hanging around this point?
And the fact of the matter
point?
Is that... That
how many guys
are
going to see hanging around
the court? What matter is that Archie Moore?
We understand. How many guys are we going to see? We're not seeing it. We're only seeing Bernard Hopkins. Why are we seeing Bernard Hopkins? Because Bernard Hopkins can do this because nobody else can fight. Okay, we haven't seen a lot of. I mean, there have been guys who fought maybe one or two fights too many during the course of their career because they needed money. But Hopkins can continue to do this, Rooney, because the guys that they can't fight. And the people
and this is the corrupt part. He's part of promotional teams. Now if that's not conflict of interest, I don't know what it is.
And on that, Rooney, the point is he comes to the plate knowing you're gonna throw him a fastball right down the middle. He's kicking his opponent. He's gonna throw me a fastball right down the middle. Next time you're going to be always beat curveball, you got to jump in.
These baseball analogies aren't making it, Doc. These baseball analogies aren't making it, okay? Fastballs down the middle curve. You're talking about guys getting smacked upside the knot at 80, 40, going on 50, okay? These baseball analogies ain't making it, okay?
There's a crime here. You guys don't understand. There's a crime here. There's a guy, if I'm not mistaken, he is the promoter. He's the fighter. He's the man that's paying everybody off, and he's picking his own opponent. If the criminal aspect is not in print, I don't know what criminal aspect is. I mean, I have seen a lot of people go to jail for less charges for doing a conflict situation and doing a crime where he has the book, he is robbing the bank, and he's telling the tax people that we made this much money or we lost this much money. My point is that because if I remember, I try to do the same thing, try to promote and be my own fighter. They say you can't do that. Conflict of interest.
This is just really, like I said, I just don't understand. You know, we understand what you're saying. But I mean,
I don't think you are.
I really don't.
No, Ronnie, you don't understand.
You know, Doc. Here's the bottom line, Rooney. Bernard Hopkins don't care what we think. Bernard Hopkins still fight. That's the bottom line. He don't care what. Listen, Rooney. Here's the bottom. The boy told his grandmother, his mom, he wasn't fighting anymore. He's still fighting. And there's like a buddy of mine. I remember this guy, and this is you know how sad and touching and Rooney a point was. This guy would not go to the hospital to see his mother die. So do you think I would ever expect him to come to the hospital to see me? Wouldn't go to the hospital to see his own mother dying. She was asking for him to come. The dude told his brother, when his brother said, hey, look, you know, Ma is asking for you to come to the hospital. He told his brother, that's why they got doctors and nurses. I mean, like I'm saying, it's a situation.
That is fucking sad and touching. I heard about that, too. That's the saddest thing I've heard about any man, really.
His brother called me. You know, hey, look, so-and-so mom is asking for him, the youngest baby. He won't go. And then, as you know, Rooney and Harold and Cisco, you know when she died, he was there boo-hooing. I'm going to miss her so much. We had to do the whole work of getting the horse and taking him outside and hanging him. All we could do was getting the horse and a rope and hanging off outside. I'm going to miss her so much. Would not go to the hospital to visit his own mom.
But, you know, Bernard, like I said, he has that mental attitude. He's got to make the money. He's been so poor and dried out, and he's been scuffling all his life. Now that he's got the money he's got, Bernard's the hardest person in the world, and I can tell you, to get a dollar from because of the situation he's been under. Had nothing to do with why he should feel the way that he did with his mother. But my point is that his sad and touching situation is going to hurt him later. And God has got a way of saying things. But my point is, he keeps doing what he's doing. He's going to do it, keep on doing because he's making this $1 million pop. He's going to be sorry when he hits 50 and 60. That's what I got to say.
That's all I was saying, Harold. Thank you. Thank you very much, Harold. That's all I was saying. Say it again.
Yeah, he's gonna be sorry when he is 50 and 60. And believe me, he ain't gonna make 70. Cause boy, when that shit started hitting his ass, and that them bones started falling apart.
Say it again,
and that brain,
Al.
And them cells in his mind started deteriorating. He does not know what he's getting ready to face. And God has created, he has created a well. He's going to let him have all that empire he has and then say, now you can't do nothing with it. Now what you
want? Health is not where it should be. It's no question. You know, all of this is correct. All of this, my thing is just the refusal to get in Brother Hopkins' mind. I mean, everybody, what you say, 2 and 2 is 4, 3 and 1 is 4, 5 minus 1 is 4. Bernard Hopkins sees the money. Bernard Hopkins sees guys he can beat. Bernard Hopkins sees an opportunity for him. And then who's to say that down the line he won't be all right at 50, 60? But the bottom line right now is very simple, is that he can continue to fight because there's guys who can't fight. You're talking about that baseball analogy, Rooney, straighten up, son. I mean, it's like a guy going to the plate knowing what the guys are going to throw. I mean, and he knows, and not importantly, I mean, as Harold said, he's picking his opponents. He's doing what everybody else does, picking his opponents and going to the bank. And like I'm saying, you can't, he can think the way he wants to think. He can feel the way, the risks, okay, the aftermath, and the suffering will all be on him. But, you know, the bottom line, it's his call, his choice. His call is his choice.
Can I use a baseball analogy myself?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make a baseball. My baseball analogy is this, okay? And I'm feeding right off what Howard said, okay? All that is well and good. But one day, Bernard's going to go into the fight looking for the curveball. Kid's going to hit him with a fastball. It's going to be all she wrote.
Yeah. Johnny, again, big deal. So we're saying that. Big deal.
This is a different deal. Because what he's saying is that's hitting a baseball. We're talking about boxing. This is a physical thing that's going to happen. And
We understand that. And I don't understand how both of you don't understand this. You know, this is very simple. The boy is playing with a stacked deck, okay? He right now, he sees that it's working his way, and the bottom line, Bernard Hopkins can do what Bernard Hopkins wants to do. And this is what he wants to do.
Right.
I mean, you're sitting here talking about he should quit. That's his call. But the bottom line is,
he should quit years ago.
But the point is, and this is the bottom line, Hal said, he's the one that's going to take that ass whipping. He's the one whose body's going to be suffering. But it's his call. You know, the Bible said, many a call, the few are chosen. Rudy, give us a close out so we can do some mic on lights. So real quick, let me get back to this. Don't move. Let me loop plug again. Anybody move? Boy, love this panel. One more time. Hey. Dr. Kelly, Sports Net Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Government Network. Looking back over the week, Alex Rodriguez will fight the suspension, continues to play. Yankees are starting to win. Alfonso Soriano, 4 home runs, 2 games, 13 RBIs. Andy Pettit finally won the game again. So did CC Sabathia. The Mets are playing some real good baseball. The Phillies fired their manager. Hall of Famer Ryan Sternberg has taken over. And also the Rangers are making a little suitor against the tweet that they got on the air. Also boxing-wise, IBF middleweight champion tomorrow in Atlantic City on Monday. Danny Jacobs fight. Bernard Hopkins announced that he will fight again to fight the gentleman who originally had a problem getting the visa. And Golden Boy has made sure he got the visa. He'll be fighting again. It is Pacquiao and Alvarez down the line. And we will see what Rudy sees as that fight comes on. It's also Brandon Rios against Manny Pacquiao. And we also have fighting once again Miguel Cotto against Devlin Rodriguez. And Manny Pacquiao
The man who knocked out Manny Pacquiao, Marquez, will be fighting Timothy Bradley. Both guys winners against Pacquiao, so we'll see who's going to win that particular fight. Pro football this weekend. This weekend we have the Giants playing on Sunday against the Washington against the Indianapolis Colts, and the old PR man Avis Roper will be in town. He's the head of PR now with the Indianapolis Colts, and tomorrow we will find out just how good Sanchez is, just how the home crowd will feel when he quarterbacks against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Prediction 17-6, a jet win by Cincinnati Sea Wings, but time will tell. The Giants, they're looking out to get in the playoff and the Super Bowl, as this year the Super Bowl will be hosted right here in New York City. I think the biggest question, I think it's no coincidence, Rooney, I think it's no coincidence that things went bad for the Giants when JPP was no longer performed. I don't think it's a coincidence, Rooney.
It's not a coincidence, Doc, and now I'm starting to hear. You know, Doc, back's a really tricky thing. I haven't done wrestling, man. Everybody in that business has a bad back. And so it also goes along with football. And guys coming back from a back injury is very tricky. I'm hearing Doc, he'll be lucky to get back when half the season is over. They're going to have
Rooney,
to settle him with kids love, JBP.
You know, you're on the money. He has said that he's not coming back until he's healthy. He's not worried about playing.
Well, if that's the case, he may miss the season, Doc. If that's the case, he may miss the entire season.
Really, Rooney?
Yeah, Doc, backs are a real tricky thing, especially among those big guys. Really tough.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, sports is at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network, where we give you an in-depth look and perspective, not only of the sports played, but the performers of the sport and the posse, the iconic posse, the Cisco Kid, Double H, Round Brown X, Dusty, Lady A, Double Barrel Howell, Melvin, Cosell, a.k.a. Lil Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, Cincinnati Sea Wings, AKM's in a 411, and the Hoopster, along with Nate B. Berger Baseball. With that diverse intellect, we talk sports in depth, but we can give you the world in depth, which we do. They're not the best. They're not the absolute best. They're the greatest of all times. And we're here tomorrow. And you got our Sunday sports wrap-up. And like I said, just a quick look at the week. A-Rod back, finally with the Yankees. He is fighting the suspension. And Charlie Manuel was fired by the Philadelphia Phillies. Ryan Sandberg, famed second baseman and former high MVP winner. He's taken over as manager. The Mets and Yankees starting to play some good baseball. Don Matt, are the Dodgers on fire? They are 40-9, and no team has played that well since 1953. And that's when the Giants and Dodgers were still here in New York City. JPP, will he play? That's a big question. Victor Cruz is back, and we also understand when will RG3 come back? The Redskins say he will play. No preseason football. He's getting ready for opening day. Hopefully, he will be ready for that. Tom Brady turned the ankle. They said there's no concerns. Brady should be playing again, and he should be ready for the opening game tomorrow. It's just opening the preseason at home. The Jacksonville Jaguars, Mark Sanchez will be behind the ball. That's no surprise that it seems to be Ryan's main man. And we can wonder now, maybe it's more Ryan than Tannenbaum. But once again, Sanchez is the guy behind center tomorrow. And then on Sunday, the Giants, the last team in the Super Bowl around this town, they will be playing the Indianapolis Colts. Avis Roper, welcome back home. We want to say also happy birthday to John Stocks on the 10th of this month, one of the greatest Knicks of all time, one of the greatest dunks in all of pro basketball and in the playoffs. And he shared his birthday that day with the lovely former wife of Julius Erving, Mrs. Turquoise Brown Erving, and George McGinnis. But the 10th, John Stocks, number 3. And, wow, he is a great human being, a great person. And now another great human being will help close us out, the man who coined the sports and definition, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Rooney, will tell you all. We got to go. Rooney, you got something to say?
Good doctor, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear this constant go between about Hopkins with Rooney and Howell. You have to understand, these are two guys who are in that invocation, who understand the physicality, understand what the injuries can do. And I think we salute them for their concern of a contemporary, their concern
with somebody that they have a lot of respect for, and you can see that. Now, you know, you guys, we go back, but I think you have to be taking up with you guys, man, because you guys are really concerned, and you know, because there's no benefit for you in this. I mean, it's not like you're going to lose anything, win anything, and just got to take a hat off to both of you guys for constantly trying to lure everybody to the danger of this. And, you know, you're right. This is not tiddlywinks. This is not basketball where you can take you in and out of a game. And the injuries that you occur and receive in this sport, as they say, they're lifelong. You know, you don't take a pill, you don't take a class, you don't get a rub down. And their concern here, as you hear them, and the zeal, Rooney has been zealous for a long, long time, and how it's about guys that they have a lot of respect for, but also it's a contemporary. You know, too often people, and the problem with sports today, guys who never played marble or writing stories about sports, these guys have been there. They know what it's like. But they've been through the pain. They've been through the suffering. They've had the adulation. They're also going through the injury. So we just take our hats off to them for their concern for somebody that they respect, somebody that they admire, and more importantly, somebody that they know who's a contemporary. And
good job by you, Doc. I know I've closed the South, Doc. I know I've already officially closed the South, but that's my only concern, respect. You know, Doc, I have nothing but respect for what they do, because believe it or not, Doc, and I don't have to tell you, man, that's a hellified way to make a living. So you're absolutely right, Doc. It's all due.
It's not basketball. You know, you talk about baseball. They're going to bed. That's the only danger, guys. I mean, I look at these baseball players who complain. How do you get every inning you come down and sit on the bench? Every inning you come down and sit on the bench. I'm just befuddled by guys that can't play because they got turf toe. Turf toe. You know what I mean? But Muscle got some fights tomorrow. Gail, Barker, which way are you going this? Cisco?
Hello?
Up there. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, Cisco, Barker and Gail. Who you like tomorrow?
Close fight, but I think that I'm going with Gail. Gail is going, I think, is a 9 or 10 win streak since he had a split decision loss, where Barker was knocked out about 2 or 3 fights ago by Martinez. So we've seen him get stopped. You know, his biggest win, Gail's biggest win is against Felix Sturm, but Felix Sturm is no pushover. I mean, he's not the greatest. He's not an all-time great fighter, but he is a good fighter, and beating him makes a bit of noise when you get through a guy like him who's a veteran. I'm going with Gil. I'm going with Gil for this fight.
Danny Jacobs fights this Monday. I think, you know, it's kind of a hand-pick opponent. The point
he's
is
fighting Giovanni Lorenzo, who's you know, I mean, he's a veteran. He's actually fighting a guy who's pretty much a veteran who's got quite a bit of losses. But you know he's fought quite a bit of the who's who's in boxing, you know. So
does the win here springboard him into the rankings and a shot at the title?
Well, the guy's not going to go away easily, so it's pretty much better opponent than he's had for quite a few times. I mean, the last time he fought in the Barclays Center, you know, we saw him blow out a guy. This guy here may not be as quality-wise of an opponent, but he'll probably be durable and give him much of a test. If he knocks him out or even, you know, outboxes him, then that probably stems, you know, brings him back as to move him up to the next level. You know, is Danny Jacobs ready? We'll find out on Monday, you know.
Wow, big test for him. And, you know, we got the big fights down the road. We got the Alvarez and Mayweather fight. We've got the Brandon Rios and Pacquiao fight, Bradley and Marquez. Real quickly, we'll talk about these fights a whole lot more. But Bradley and Marquez, real quickly, who and why?
Who is that, you, Doc? Okay.
Bradley and Marquez, who and why? Real quick, Cisco.
Cisco?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Okay, you know, we're going to do it. Marvin, have his say, and we'll be on our way. We're back here tomorrow. Wait a minute. Hold on. Here we go.
Okay, who's joining us
that's
now?
It's me. I lost the call. I called for my cell.
Okay.
I lost the call.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, you're back. So real quickly, we were talking. You gave us a Bradley Marquez.
You asked me about Bradley Marquez, I believe.
Right. Real quickly.
You know, I thought going into this fight that it's going to be a tough fight for either guy. I mean, Bradley's not a guy who goes away very easily. We've seen how tough the kid can be. But, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about, you know, the drug testing and all that stuff. And we saw how Marquez looked against Pacquiao in this fourth fight. He looked like Popeye. So if we're getting Popeye for this fight, you might expect the same thing. We might see,
wow,
for the first time, we might see Bradley get knocked the hell out.
Bradley Marquez,
I think that Bradley is gonna give Marquez some fits because he gave Pacquiao fits, so he's gonna give him fits. I honestly believe that Bradley is a tough opponent for. I thought he was gonna be a tough opponent for Pacquiao, but I think he's it's not gonna be an easy fight. I really do think so. If Marquez,
here's a question. Can we possibly see, and this is a real quick answer, can we possibly see if Bradley gets by Marquez, Bradley Mayweather?
Mayweather already beat, you know, Bradley is not that type of fighter to me. My point is, what I'm getting at is that Marquez is going to win because he's much smarter than Bradley.
Wow.
He's smarter, but I also think that he's this jacked up version of
I'm talking about smartness. I'm talking about being clever in the ring. And Marquez, one thing about him, he's very clever. He puts himself in condition not just for a fight. He puts himself mind situation. He knows how to beat a guy in a sense of taking him to school. And Bradley only fights one way, and that's the only way he's going to fight. He's not going to adjust to no type of style in this fight. So I think Marquez is just going to win easily. If he doesn't knock him out, he's definitely going to beat him by points easily.
Rooney, you'll pick it,
Rooney. I think it's going to be a tough fight, but I won't be surprised if the Marquez that showed up knocked out Pacquiao, I won't be surprised if we see another knockout. I don't know. I just kind of...
I have it as a pick 'em
fight, Doc, but it is going to be a really, really tough gut it out who wants in more kind of rumble, no doubt.
Okay, and real quickly, Pacquiao and Brandon Rios, Rooney?
You know, Doc, I'm still been going back and forth on this one all week, but I'll say this, though. I'm giving Rios a real big shot in this rumble. I'm giving him a real big shot.
I don't know if I can say anything definitively yet.
But it is definitely, I'll put it this way, it's going to be a lot of punishment dished out in this rumble. There's no question about that.
Harold, Rooney, and...
I won't be surprised if we see Pacquiao get knocked out again.
Wow. Harold?
Marquez is going to win by decision or knockout, either way.
No. I'm talking about Pacquiao and Rios.
Oh, Rios. I mean, I see Pacquiao winning by this. But you know what? Yeah, I see Pacquiao. Because... one thing, I have a problem. They're fighting in Pacquiao hometown. My other problem, he's getting there like the week of the fight. You guys don't understand. There's so much element to a fighter winning a fight, especially when you're going to somebody's backyard. Is the timing, you know, the preparation, the food he has. You got to understand that they put him in the hotel that he's going to. What they're putting in his food. I mean, it's just all kinds of things that can happen with a fighter fighting a guy in his hometown and going through that process. And you never heard it before, but I'm going to tell you it does happen. That if it's a danger and there's something happening, they're going to make sure that Pacquiao has the edge, especially in his hometown. He ain't going to lose in his hometown. And the point is that when he gets to, Philippines, and if he gets to the Philippines a week of the fight, he gets knocked out. He gets there 8 days or 10 days before, he loses by decision. So I pick Pacquiao all the way.
And with that, Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God. Nobody leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today. As you stand before God, to my life, so the system, urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rich pay for your space here on earth. And Larry Hardesty and Marvin Gaye have the last say. Larry, you go first.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Who really cares? Save a world in despair.